Today we'll go off schedule just a little bit, and I normally have a lesson plan, I guess you could say, made out. I do a lot of studying during the week. I have an outline. I set it up. I know pretty much which direction I want to go, what I want to say, what the verses are, how I want to bring it out and all that. But for those listening, we've had a death that was a huge blow here in our church with Jonathan Haddock. And we've been sharing about him and our memories of him and what he meant to us. But just for about 15, 20 minutes here, one thing that I had said about death and about things that we've had a struggle here. We've had another family here who had a loss of a sister. And there's been a whole lot of like famous people, celebrities who died over the last month. You could take out of the religious world, John MacArthur and Jimmy Swaggart. You could take out of the entertainment world, Hulk Hogan, Ozzy Osbourne, Chuck Mangione. They've been several. But I'll put Jonathan up against anybody. And it really hurts. But one thing I'd said beforehand is that when I death and things as I get older and I experience it, look, when I was young, I never was around it. And you think as a young person, you can't imagine when you're in your 20s and you're even in your 30s, if you like I was, even going into 40, you can't imagine dying. It just doesn't register that that's going to happen. And you're like, man, I'll be the first one to beat it. I'm indestructible, especially if you're a male. You know, it's easy to think that when you're younger, but then you start experiencing little by little. And then as you grow older, it just seems like it's all the time. People that you're close to and they're around one day and they're not here the next. You know, and then your parents. You know, I experienced my mom and dad. And well, I think after dad died, when dad died and when Jason Campfield died, who was a neighbor, that's when I really started thinking about my own mortality. And I think tied with other things, like with Morgan and her health situation, I think the Lord has been dealing with me for a little while and making me think, because I never thought of that. So, and then as you start to experience it, you start having different thoughts about it, different spiritual thoughts, and how it relates to what we believe here. And how we teach grace and what we believe about God's grace. I want to share something here. And I thought it was great. It was one of the best things I've ever read. And it was on social media. And Hulk Hogan had died. And just about everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is. People my age kind of grew up with him. He was part of our youth. And Hulk Hogan came to know the Lord a year ago. He got saved at 70 years of age. And he was pretty outspoken about that. You know, he wasn't afraid to share that. And there were a lot of things that happened in his life beforehand, things that he did that weren't so great, maybe how he treated people, things in his personal life, things that he had said that didn't go over very well, and there's a lot of people who didn't like him on a personal, not professionally, but on a personal basis. And a lot of people believe that I've seen things on social media because of things he did in past life, because of his works or because of his actions. Well, he's not in heaven. You know, and I said this earlier. I might think, let's say I'm capable of doing what I think's right all the time, and if it's not right, I won't do it. Let's say I'm capable of doing that, which I'm not. None of us are. But let's say at the greatest, let's put ourselves out there to do something that we cannot physically do. Let's say we can do that. There's so much disagreement on what's right and wrong that we can't agree on what's right. Okay? What I might think's right on something, Ken might think's wrong. So if you're going by your good works, how do we even judge what a good work is? Let alone if we can do it or not. How do you judge what a good work is? So if we're saved to works, there's a huge gray area there, and I don't know who decides which one's right and which one's wrong. Okay, so there's a huge gray area there. But grace, like I said, that's a black and white issue. It's a yes or no. It's not fill in the blanks. It's not an essay question. It's true or false. Yes, I have accepted Christ as my Savior. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Or no, I haven't. There's no yes, but, or no, but. There's none of that. There's no buts. There's no second. It's either yes or no. Okay? So that tells us, even in death, how important grace is. And you know something? You can read about all these people, these famous people that have died, and you'll see people will have good things to say about them, and then you'll have people that have horrible things to say about them. When it's like that old saying, don't tell Cameron, don't go around complaining about your problems, because a third of the people will sympathize, a third of the people won't care, and a third of the people will be glad to go. So that's the way the world is. And no matter who dies, I guarantee you is great, and I think Jonathan hung the moon, but there's going to be somebody somewhere that didn't like him. And there's going to be somebody somewhere that's going to have bad things to say. There may be more than one. When I die, there's probably going to be a bunch, and that's fine. All that matters is what the Lord thinks. And so when Hulk died, Paul Orndorff was another wrestler back then, a famous wrestler. And I don't know if he wrote this or his son wrote it, but they were both from Tampa. They were both the same age. They both came up together. And I want to read what he said. He wrote about people liking him, and then he said others will vilify him for his political stances or what racist rhetoric or things like that. He spoke at Republican convention for Trump, and that, a lot of people didn't like that. Whether that's not here nor there, it's just that triggers emotions right there. So he said, whether good or bad, whether one agrees with what he did or not, the truth is that he was all of that. Men and women are flawed and imperfect. To some, I am a tornado. To others, a cool breeze. I've never been a celebrity. My sins and flaws are more easily hidden. They've never been on display for the world to dissect. Every great man in history was either a baby-faced, the good guy, or the heel, the bad guy. Only when we embrace every facet of a man can we begin to accept our own failures. Grace isn't given because we've earned it. It's given because we haven't. Choose your words carefully, because those of us who need grace must be the first to extend it. This thought is echoed in my mind, and again, it's not our responsibility to absolve. It is our responsibility to forgive. If hate lives in your heart, I assure that whatever mistake Hulk Hogan or anybody else made will never be enough to cover yours. I can't tell you what lies within a man's heart, but I can tell you that Terry Bollea, that was Hulk Hogan's real name, surrendered his life to Christ, if he surrendered, but I can tell you that if Terry Bollea surrendered his life to Christ, which we believe he did, then today he is in heaven with his Father. Hulk Hogan was immortal, but Terry Bollea is no longer with us. We are all in need of grace. The question is, did you accept grace from the only one who can get it? From the one who was obedient to death, even death on the cross. To those who hurt today, my heart is with you. May you ask for grace, and may it find you. It is freely and abundantly given with one condition. You must accept it from the one who died for it. Jesus Christ, like I said, it doesn't matter what. And I love Job. Like I said, I think he's the. I couldn't do him justice how much I think of him. But that doesn't matter in the long run. What matters is what God thinks. And what God thinks is based on what you do with that gift he gave of the cross, dying on the cross, Jesus Christ. Do you accept it? If you accept it, he sees you as his righteousness, not our righteousness. People judge us by our righteousness. When they do that, none of us have a chance. I remember it was either Tuesday night or Wednesday night. I think it was Tuesday. So we went to Orange Beach. So we go out to eat. So it's Missy, me, Morgan, Garrett, Johnson. So we went to a place called Coastal. It's supposed to be one of the places down there. It's one of the popular places to eat. We didn't have a long wait. Well, it was going to be a long wait, 2 hours. But by the time we took pictures. So that killed an hour and a half of it. So by the time we do that, we take pictures and we do all that. And they give you the buzzer and it goes off. So they give me the buzzer. And so it goes off. And I'm joking about an hour and a half. About 45 minutes into it, the buzzer goes off. I went, man, that was quick. I go up there and she said, we got a table, a booth. If you want that booth, we can seat you now. And if not, then you're cooking over another hour probably. And I said, we'll take the booth. Well, so we get the booth and it's like this. And it's up on a step. So you don't have any place to put the booster seat. Okay? Giles is 7 months old. So we go in and we sit at that seat, and man, it was hot under there. It wasn't bad at all outside. Breeze is blowing. It's right there on the ocean. We sit down, and man, there is no breeze whatsoever. And everybody's sweating. Everybody. And I look at Missy, and Missy's sweating. So I've got Giles. Giles is crying. Giles wants something to eat, wants some milk or whatever. He's tired of taking pictures. So he sits down, and there's that sweat going. And Missy's shoulder stuff, and I really worry about that. And I know I get on her nerves. I'm like, Missy, are you okay? Is there anything I can do? Are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And it's just constant. So she goes, I'm fine. So when she does that, I'm just like, scoot over a little bit, and I'm here. So then she says, what are you mad at? And I'm like, nothing. So you know how that goes, and everything's fine. But anyway, so we took turns, and it's still hot and all that. So we took turns. Somebody would eat, and somebody would walk. And somebody did, which was fine. So everybody did that. So I got him. And I walked him and we went outside. And we went around every bit of that restaurant, to every table and all that. And then it goes on. I just wore him out. And so he puts his head down and he goes to sleep. So I find somewhere outside, there's plenty there. And I just sit down and he's got his head on my shoulder and he's asleep. And as messed up as part of that meal was, I told Missy, that's the greatest meal I've ever had in my life. And it had nothing to do with the food. But you see, when I'm holding Giles, my grandson, I see him as perfect. And we all do. Your kids when they were little, your grandkids, I don't care how mean they're going to be. And I don't care how much he cries and how spoiled he is and all that. He can do no wrong in my eyes. None. But you see, that is how God sees us if we've accepted Christ as Savior. We're covered because we believe in the cross and the price that Christ paid. So you know what happens? He sees us as his righteousness, not our righteousness. He doesn't see my righteousness and my mistakes and my shortcomings. He sees his righteousness because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he sees. And justification, we talk about that. He sees me just as I've never sinned. Even though I do it, even though I fall so short. That's how he sees me. Next time you're holding that grandbaby, or that baby, or that little one that can't take care of itself, and you just stare and think how precious and perfect it is in your arms, that's how God sees you. That's how God sees you on your worst day. When Jesus chose the disciples, he knew Peter was going to betray him. That didn't surprise him. Every time that our heroes in the Bible fell short and they didn't do right by the Lord, it never surprised God. All the hurt that Jesus had, people turned their backs on him, all the disciples leave, never surprised him. But he chose every one of those disciples who all left him. He chose them knowing what they would do. So, God's grace. And I was going to go, and I'll do it next week, from Galatians 5. And you don't have to turn to that, but we're going to go Galatians 5, 1 through 4 next week. And it was about our Christian liberty. And it said it was for spiritual freedom, liberty, that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. And you notice what it says in the King James, it says the yoke of bondage. You notice it doesn't say the yoke of sin. A lot of times when we think about yoke, that we have this propensity, we have this human nature to do that, and we're constantly fighting that. That's not what Paul said the yoke was. The yoke was, don't be subject again to the yoke of slavery or to the yoke of bondage. What was bondage? The bondage was the law. The bondage is us not seeing us, how God sees us, and not understanding Christ's grace. You know, if somebody else wants to say something bad about Jonathan or not like Jonathan or whatever, that's their issue. Or anybody that died, Hulk Hogan or Jimmy Swaggart or John MacArthur or whoever. Grace is a two-way street. God shows grace to us. We show grace to others. I can't show grace to others unless, not true grace, unless I get it from the Lord. And what I get from the Lord, I need to share with others. I love Jonathan, and I would have loved Jonathan anyway, and I did. But because the Lord loved me and showed grace to me, that made me love Jonathan more. That's called Christian charity. And I loved him because of that. I loved him because of a brother. So we have grace. We have love. But remember, Christ loved us first and he died for us. Whether we deserved it or not, that's the grace we have. And that's the grace that we need to share with others. That's the grace that Jonathan had. Jonathan got grace from the Lord, and he showed it to others where he was, whether he was giving to people, whether he was giving money to me to give to somebody else, which he did all the time, or whether it was just, good morning, Missy, good morning, Kim, good morning, good to see everybody, or whether he just smiled. And like people have said, I don't ever remember him having a bad day at church. I don't ever remember seeing him when he wasn't happy to see me. I don't ever remember him seeing him when he was not happy to see you. That made his day, and he loved it. We can learn things from Jonathan. And I hope, and my prayer is, that I can be more like him. I want to be like the Lord. But the Lord showed Jonathan grace. Jonathan showed it to others. So I'm saying, Lord, help me. Thank you for your grace. I don't deserve it. Help me show it to others. Help me not be bitter. Help me not complain. Help me not be that person that nobody wants to be around, or they want to go the other way when they see me. Because there's plenty of them out there who claim to be the greatest Christians ever was. And you know them. And they go to church three times a week every time the doors are open, and you don't want to be around them because they have that bitterness. That's not the grace that God gave us. So I thank him for that grace. I thank him for just the Lord for everything that he's done for us. And I love him for it. We will...